Dwight, thank you again. And Dwight always does a good job of leading us in our time of worship, and we appreciate it so much. You know, words are so very, very important, I think, to all of us, and certainly they bear a great significance when it comes to matters that are spiritual. God gave us that avenue of communication with words. And isn't it interesting that God wanted to communicate to us, He communicated to us with words. You know, God could have done anything. I want to talk to you tonight, as Dwight said, on the subject, would your words pass the test? In the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, and verse 21, the tongue can bring, Solomon said, death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. That's something that we all ought to be focused on, should we not? What is the definition of language anyway? It really is a communication of our thoughts, our feelings, through a system of arbitrary signals such as voice sounds. We can do it by gestures, or we can do it by written symbols. And when I think about it, I think about the system, including the rules, and actually the components, combining those, such as words, actually. It's a particular manner of expression. You can either use profane language, you can use persuasive language. You know, it's not uncommon to hear people today take the name of the Lord God in vain. And by the way, let me clarify something tonight about talking about actually profane language or profanity. Did you know there are other ways to take the name of the Lord God in vain? One of them is when you pledge yourself to be a follower of Christ or to be a Christian and you don't follow Christ, you have taken His name in vain. When you say, I pledge my love to God, He's going to be number one in my life. And when He is not number one in your life, you have taken His name in vain. Because simply calling yourself a Christian does not make you a Christian at all. Now, I was looking through a number of dictionaries, and they're dictionaries for bad words. Remember when they didn't even put those slang words in Merriam-Webster's dictionary? Well, today they have a dictionary for bad and even profane words, if you wanted to look for them, or slang words that are often used in our society today. People actually have little or no regard for God's law when it comes to what they say in private or in public about certain things. You know, I can remember when, they didn't used to use profanity on television. Remember that? And now people use it freely. Our president uses it every now and then, and that's not a good thing, I think. And he's been cautioned about doing that. There is a standard of decency when it comes to the FCC. I learned that a number of years ago when I used to be a DJ on a radio station. And there were things you could say and things you could not say. And sometimes today in our world, people don't think anything at all about it. And other people even justify it when they say, well, he didn't really mean that. Well, why do we voice it if we don't mean it? The Bible says, out of the issues of the heart flow the issues of life. Jesus, in the 12th chapter of the book of John, in verse 48, said, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And so in reality, there's an unwritten test of our words before our God. People use that vulgar language so often, and the Bible even addresses that, not only in what we have already discussed, but other passages as well. And I really believe that the longevity of life, part of it is based upon how we use our words. Now, that's what Christ actually said. Peter alluded to it in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. And the word guile there means deceit or hypocritical. And make sure you abstain from that. Let him eschew evil, let him do good, and let him seek peace. Now, if what Peter is saying there, you know, people need to start watching their words. We need to be very careful how we say it, and not only how we say it, but what we say as well. How many of you have ever heard of the language of Ashdod? Do you know anything at all about Ashdod? The Bible speaks about Ashdod. Ashdod actually was a province of the Philistines, and it was kind of like Gaza, where Gaza is today. And there were other little groups of people that met along what they call the Gaza Strip. And when they, actually the people of Ashdod were not Christians. They were the ones when Nehemiah was summoned by God, who was the cupbearer, but he was summoned by God to build the wall around Jerusalem again. And when he wanted to build that wall, the people of Ashdod, believe it or not, were fighting him and saying, "We don't need to build a wall." Does that sound familiar to y'all? Well, it happened back during the days of Nehemiah, the great prophet of Almighty God. In Nehemiah, the 13th chapter, and I won't read all of this, but in the book of Nehemiah 13, 23 through 25. Now, the Bible does address the subject of the language of Ashdod, and it is a term that is found in the Old Testament also. It refers to the dialect, okay, now think about this, and the language spoken by the inhabitants of Ashdod. And it was that Philistine city that was located near the Mediterranean and coast. Well, anyway, after the Jews had returned from exile, and some of the people of Ashdod were among those who opposed the building of that wall, you can read about that in the 4th chapter and verse 7. Nehemiah was also really somewhat dismayed to find that some of the Israelites had intermarried with the women of Ashdod, and many of the children could not even speak the language of Judah, Nehemiah chapter 13. Well, when we think about this language of Ashdod, people ask the question, well, what is that? Well, in the book of Nehemiah 13, beginning in verse 23, the Bible says, "In those days," now Nehemiah is writing this, "In those days I also saw Jews who had married women of Ashdod," unbelievers, those that were not of God, "and half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod and could not speak the language of Judah, but spoke according to the language of one or other people." Their children spoke the language of Ashdod. That is not of God. I wonder what our children think about the way that we use our language today. Have you ever considered that? You know, children have a way of mimicking their parents, and when they hear their parents use words that we would consider profane or words that we would consider to be obscenities, do you think they're going to pick up on the same? Do you think they're probably going to say the same thing? Probably so. Now, Peter's strange speech, I guess you could say, found here in the book of Matthew chapter 26, verse 69 and following, the Bible says, "After Jesus had been apprehended and brought back, a little later those who stood by came up and said unto Peter, 'Surely, surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you.'" Now, of course, we know they're talking about the fact that he was a Galilean, but in reality, did you realize that sometimes our speech can betray us? We convey unto other people who we are. We convey unto other people how we live by just our little words that we speak. One translation, the New American Standard, says the way you talk gives you away, or your accent gives you away, New International Version. "For you're all Galilean, and your speech shows who you are." Now listen to what Christ says, and I tell you this, you must give an account on the day of judgment for every idle word that you will speak. You know, sometimes people employ words, even though it's that avenue of communication with each other, As I told you, sometimes we communicate in a lot of ways. We could gesture to one another, to wave a smile. You know, there are a lot of ways to non-verbally communicate with each other. And the Bible says that we need to watch our words. There are some things that I want to share with you tonight that are so very, very important that we may not think about. Do you know that people know filthy language is wrong, even when they use it? This afternoon, I had run into a fella that I met 20 years ago. And at the time that I met him, he was an alcoholic. And I talked to him at that time. He was really a young man. And I talked to him about his alcoholism, and not a member of the church. Some of you probably wouldn't even know him. But anyway, he came up to me and he said, "I've been wanting to tell you something." And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "I've been wanting to tell you that I'm no longer an alcoholic, that I'm clean." And he said, "You know what?" He said, "Your words, believe it or not, got me to thinking about my alcoholism 20 years ago. And that's why I've stopped. And I wanted to see you and I wanted to talk to you and I wanted to tell you that." But in the course of the conversation, he used a profane word, and his wife said, "You need to work on that." You know, sometimes we just let words slip out, like I said, without ever really thinking about it. And people who use vulgar language know when they're using it. There's a new study conducted by the Pew Research Center showed that 75% of 1,505 adults that were actually polled would like to see tighter enforcement of government rules on broadcast content. And I agree with that. I don't generally get up here and tell you that we need more governmental controls. But that's one area where I think perhaps maybe we are derelict and we have allowed these things to slip in. And the stuff that you see on television is not warranted by God. It certainly is not healthy at all in a spiritual way. But particularly when children are most likely to be watching. It's just as wrong for children as it is for adults, or vice versa. 60% said they want broadcast TV, listen, indecency standards extended to cable TV. And 69% want higher fines for media companies. You know, I always learned a long time ago that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. I before have written and I have said things to people about it. But you know what? Maybe all of us ought to be doing that, not just the preacher. I remember when they used to have signs in places of business that said, "No foul language in this place of business." Or they might have another sign up that says, "No profanity used in this particular restaurant," whatever it happens to be. And perhaps maybe we need to go back. And we need to actually stop all the swearing and the using of vulgar language. But it's gotten to where people say anything and everything. I hear teachers talk about the fact that at school, these young people are saying all kinds of evil things, and I mean cursing, swearing at the teachers. I wouldn't want to be a teacher today, but that is a terrible thing. But you know what? That goes back to the home, doesn't it? When you allow it in your home, then are they going to do it? You better know they're going to do it. Some people ask the question, is it wrong to use cuss words? What if you're just joking? Is it all right to use profanity? No. What if you're just really mad at somebody? Sometimes people try to justify their profane language by saying, "I had a reason to feel that way." You know, our president said not long ago, I think it was Franklin Graham or someone that cautioned him about using some of the words that are used. And he says, "Well, it just fits better." I'm here to tell you tonight, and I generally agree with our president on governmental matters, but I don't agree with him on his language, and I think that's wrong, and I think we have to be very, very careful about it. Or someone says, "What if no one else cares whether we use profane language or not. Does that make it all right? No. It doesn't matter whether someone cares or not. It's still wrong. Wrong is wrong even if no one is watching. In the book of Psalms 34 and 13, the Bible says, "Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies." Boy, that's another area, isn't it? Today people tell lies just like it's okay, everything's all right. But Revelation 21 and verse 7 says, "All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth of fire and brimstone." Listen to Ephesians 4 and verse 29. "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." Filthy language is used by people who don't have the maturity or the intelligence to express themselves with better words. That's what someone told me a long time ago. That's why I put that there. But it is true. You know, our vocabulary is very shallow when we have to use those kinds of words. And sometimes they're just knee-jerk. They just pop out of your mouth. Because that's what's going on in your mouth, in your heart. You know, I know that's true, for the Bible says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does speak." Brings me to point number two. Does God have anything to really say about those who use bad words? Or how we use our tongue in general? What about the angry words we were singing about a moment ago? About the fact that friendship is too sacred for to allow angry words to slip out of our mouths. In the book of James chapter 3, verse 7 through 12, "But listen, no man can tame the tongue." He goes on to say that we can tame a lot of things, animals, wild beasts, but you can't tame the tongue because it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless God the Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing." And he says, "My brethren, these things ought not to be." Then he goes on to say, "Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening?" No, we know the answer to that. Well, how could we let our words be profane and yet at the same time come and sit in an assembly like this and sing praise and glorify God with our words? It's unacceptable, folks. It is. "Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields salt water and fresh." Doesn't do it. But sometimes people still spout on. They still use unkind words. They get in a word fight. Do you know that that's how most wars begin? A war of words. That's so true, isn't it? That's what happens in most marriages. When they end in divorce, it ends because of words that are spoken. Unkind words, unloving words. The book of Romans is profound in speaking and addressing to it when he says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. And there is none who does good. No, not one." That's pretty dismal, isn't it? "Their throat is an open tomb," he says. "With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." I don't know about you, I don't even like to be around people who use vulgar language. I don't like to be around people who take God's name in vain by saying the name of God and then adding an adjective to it after you say it. And people say, well, you know, even some of the words that we use, and they're called euphemism. You ever heard of a euphemism? It's kind of like, let me give you an example of it, okay? Instead of talking about human excretia, they say, "Oh, shucks." Instead of taking the word God and adding the word damn to the end of it, They say, well, gol darn, or dad gum. Those are euphemisms, folks. You see, you just didn't have the courage enough to say what you really wanted to say, and so you still wanted to hear it and wanted to say what you wanted to say, but you would soften it a little bit. But in Psalms 140 and verse 3, David captured it when he said, they have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder, poison, is under their lips. Fourthly, one's religion can be useless. Did you know that? Just simply by the words that we speak, our relationship with other people is rendered useless when we take God's name in vain. Would our words really pass the test or not? If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless, or it is in vain. I know people don't like to hear lessons on this, but I hear some of our brethren sometimes speak words that are unacceptable in the eyes of God. And that's a bad thing. James 3, 5 and 6 says, even so the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things, but see how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. You see, what happens is when people hear you use those words, they begin to think those words are okay. Stop and think about that a moment. If you speak those words, other Christians out there or the people of the world think, well, you know, he's using those words. There's nothing wrong with using those words. It's all right. But it isn't all right, not in God's sight. It's like a fire. And you know what? It just takes a little spark to get a big fire going. Ask people who live in California what happened to them just a few months ago. The biggest fire that ever happened in the United States of America. There must be, fifthly, the control of the tongue. For 1 Peter 3, 10 and 11, he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips speaking deceit. Be careful of what you say and quit living in the days of deception, where you have self-deceived yourself. And remember that our hearts condemn us to our God. For 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 and following, my little children, let us not love just in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. What did Jesus mean? That by your words you will be justified in Matthew 12. It means just that. Our going to heaven is going to be predicated upon how we use our words and what we say. You can condemn your soul to hell with your words. That's what Christ is saying, folks. Go back and read it. How do we let our tongue cause us to sin before God? Using God's name in vain, as I mentioned in the book of Exodus 20 and verse 7. And isn't it interesting that God allowed this to be one of the Ten Commandments, a part of the royal law of Almighty God? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. But we got a lot of people that take God's name in vain. We hear it quite often. For they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain, David said of God in the book of Psalms 139 and verse 20. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. For words can be your salvation and words can also be your damnation. How do we let our tongue cause us to sin before God? using our talk to hurt other people. Did you know? That's taking God's name in vain. When you use words purposely to hurt other people. In Romans 1:29, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. And when we gossip and we say things that we ought not to say, you better wash your mouth out spiritually. Telling lies or not telling the whole truth. That's a sin before God, isn't it? You tell someone something and you're not telling the whole truth, just part of it. And to make someone believe a lie in doing so, by whispering into their ear, saying things that you ought not to say. But Revelation 21 again says, but the cowardly, isn't that interesting that he talks about the cowardly right along with those who tell lies? But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. Isn't that amazing that God places all of those in the same text? And they will have their part in the lake which burns of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All liars, there it is again. How do we let our tongue cause us to sin? By using corrupt speech, Titus 2, in all things show yourselves to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence. Think about all this. Sound speech. I mean, we could go on. I wish we had more time, but our time's almost up. But sometimes people feel guilty over their words, and we ought to feel guilty when we say things that we ought not to say. To deliberately hurt people or to offend them, it's wrong. By using care to determine our words, we will follow Paul's admonition in the book of Colossians chapter 4 to walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, those that are not Christians, redeeming the time, and let your speech always be with grace, and seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer one another. For a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Our demeanor and our expressions have a tremendous influence on other people. For in Psalms 42, David says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Never render evil for evil. Don't do it. Always put forth the good word. You don't have to use profane language to get your point across. I got my point across tonight, I think. Amen? Did I get it across tonight? You understand it? Well, I'm going to stop right there. And I won't go on. But if you got the point, then that's where we are. That's where I wanted to be. I wanted you to know how wrong it is for us. And we're going to answer someday for how we use our word. And if that is really true, folks, we ought to make sure every moment. You know, people say sometimes, well, I hope I have that last little prayer to say, God, please forgive me of my sins. Maybe you ought to pray, God, forgive me of my words. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my Lord, and my Redeemer. If you're here tonight and you make an assessment of your words, would you have the courage to step out and just simply say, you know what? He's right. Because God's right. And to acknowledge your sin. And refrain as you leave this place from using words that God condemns. If you're here and you're not a Christian, we stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel at any moment, even now, while we stand and while we sing.